Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. Thank you for listening. Here's my number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Cyrus, you like baseball, right? You like MLB, as it's called? Take me out to the ball game. You like that stuff. Cyrus is not answering.
Oh, it helps if my mic's on.
It would help. See that little button right there?
Just press the on button. Yeah, so throwing the old pigskin around, is that what you're talking about?
No. Baseball. Wrong sport.
Pigskin is a football. Three-pointers?
Not that sport. No, I know that you know what baseball is. You probably have heard of a team called the L.A. Dodgers.
I have heard of the L.A. Dodgers.
You've heard of them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, they've gotten themselves in a bit of a mess here, and they've gotten into the mess, then out of the mess, now they're back into the mess. Story here from Washington Times. The drag queen group known as the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, these people have been around for decades. A ridiculous group of men who dress up, and they're men with like very obvious beards, so they're obviously men. And they dress up as these sort of pseudo nuns. They call themselves the Sisters of the Perpetual Indulgence. They're part of the whole drag queen culture. And as I say, they've been around for a long time, mocking, you know, things that we would deem to be holy, not to mention things deserving of respect like religious sisters. But in any case, the Dodgers announced Monday that the team is going to stick with their original plan to honor the drag queens who dress like Catholic nuns. This is less than a week after disinviting them in response to pushback from conservative Catholics who accused the group of mocking their religion. Well, of course they are. I mean, it's self-evidently true that they're mocking. The Dodgers also apologized to the Poor Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which describes itself as a leading-edge order of queer and trans nuns, after a backlash of activists, politicians, and LGBTQ groups who are outraged by the decision to exclude the drag performance group from Pride Night. So their outrage is like, oh my gosh, we better back off on this. We don't want them to be mad. But all the Catholic folk who, by the way, are probably a big percentage of the ticket sales, you know, from which major league sports teams live or die. I mean, if no one's buying tickets to your game, chances are you're not going to have a team a whole lot longer. But that doesn't matter. The Dodgers said in a statement, after much thoughtful feedback from our diverse communities, honest conversations within the Los Angeles Dodgers organization, and generous discussions with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, the Los Angeles Dodgers would like to offer our sincerest apologies, not to Catholics or people of faith, but to the so-called Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, members of the LGBTQ plus community, and their friends and families. We have asked, this is from the front office, we have asked the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to take their place on the field at our 10th annual LGBTQ plus Pride Night. That's June 16th. By the way, in case any of you ticket holders might want to avoid that on that particular night.
Don't take me out to the ball game.
Not that one, that's for sure. Blah, blah, blah. Let me just read the rest of it. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. LGBTQ plus, blah, 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 blah. LGBTQ. They left a plus out after that one.
That's insensitive.
Blah, blah. I know. Blah, 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 blah. Republicans. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah. Catholics. Blah, blah. LGBTQ plus. Blah, blah. AIDS crisis. Blah, blah, blah. So I just read it to you. So that's happening. I just wanted you all to be aware of it. I know we have a huge listening audience in SoCal, and many of you probably like to go to the Dodgers ball game. So maybe you're going to think again this time. Maybe switch allegiance. Wouldn't that be fun or interesting if all of the Dodgers fans switched allegiance to the Padres or something like
I'm
that?
I'm pretty sure Father Rocky would be okay with everyone being a Cubs fan. Just throwing
no
that
doubt.
Out there.
No doubt. Let's hope the Cubs don't go down that road. Just, you know, Major League Sports, just do what you're supposed to do. Just shut up and play your sport. That's all. That's all we ask of you. That's all we want of you. We don't need all the other extraneous meddling in societal affairs and making your statements that nobody ultimately really cares about anyway. Just play the sports game and be done with it. So well, I just want to bring that
they're
to
just trying to sell tickets, right? So it's like, what's gonna fill these seats? All right, let's try this.
This to me has a, I don't know, it has a kind of, it's reminiscent of the Anheuser-Busch Bud Light debacle. Oh, by the way, I got a complaint letter the other day, Cyrus, about you.
I know,
because you were mean talking about Dylan Mulvaney, and somebody got really unhappy, let's just put it that way.
The listener wasn't wrong, because I know what I said, and as soon as I said it, I was like, that came out wrong.
Didn't come out the way you intended.
It really didn't. It came out, I'm praying for this guy's soul. What I'm talking about is how we're bombarded.
Do you see how quickly we put you on trial? The harsh spotlight of reality shifted from the Dodgers. Now it's on you. You are.
Well,
so
here,
please, continue your defense.
I have that email somewhere. I should have.
No, it's not necessary.
Don't read it. Okay.
We don't want to pile on. But
all right. Well, we're bombarded with this. So it's happening at the Dodger Stadium. It's happening in sports. You can't go to Target in the toddler section. They're pushing. They have swimwear that you can tuck.
I know.
A tuck swimwear for toddlers. This is disgusting. And so when I said the negative thing about this individual Dylan, this guy Dylan, that parades around as a prepubescent little girl, it's the weirdest, oddest thing. I'm sick of seeing his face. I was bombarded with his face and LGBTQ plus and all
well,
the
then
rest.
Don't go to the Dodgers game on June 16th because you're really not going to like
You will not see me there. I
guarantee you, you really
I can't
won't
do
like
it anymore.
That.
I'm so sick of. We're being bombarded with it. It's in the schools. I've just watched a video of this poor mom that tried to read what her teenage daughter had to memorize for school. She tried to read it to the board at the school, and they shut her down
because it was
too pornographic to the adults. And her 15-year-old was supposed to read it.
And yet it's the same group of people, the school board, that insists that it should be available for the kids in school. And yet they won't tolerate it being read out loud because it's so vulgar.
Bingo. Yep. So that's what, when I said the mean thing about Dylan, it was really,
I don't think you needed to apologize. Right. I really don't. I think that our kind listener was overreacting. That was my impression.
But I really do want to lead with kindness. We're praying for these people. These are all souls. I love him.
This is the soft side of you that we don't normally see.
This stuff bothers me because this has been bombarding us for a few years now, right? And I want to always lead with love and kindness. I want to bring people closer to Jesus. I want them to know that they're loved and that there is a church waiting for them. And how do I do that while still standing my ground and pointing out things that are happening in our culture that are not acceptable? I don't know how to do it. That's why I listen to you, Patrick.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your confidence, Cyrus. You don't have a choice though, because you have to listen to me because you have to work the show. But I do appreciate that. I think that there's a middle ground here, and that is, on the one hand, there is certainly a point that you can go, not, I don't mean like you personally, but just rhetorically, you can go over the line and be brutal or be unnecessarily caustic or all of those things that we could say, you know, it didn't have to be that harsh. But at the same time, I do believe that there is a kind of timidity now in our society that if somebody speaks plainly, bluntly, forcefully, even harshly, a lot of people are uncomfortable with that because they feel, well, that's just being too mean. Well, there's a time and a place for being forceful. I mean, look at some of the things that Jesus said. And he had a way with words, that's for sure. And he made his point sometimes very forcefully. I mean, he said, woe to that man by whom scandal comes to these little ones. It'd be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and tossed into the ocean. You know, some people might say, oh, that was mean, Jesus. Why did you say you shouldn't throw your pearls before swine, or you don't give the food that's intended for the children to the dogs? That's mean, Jesus. Why are you being so mean? Jesus wasn't being mean. He was being honest, and he was using figures of speech that would get the attention of his people. So I'm not, pushing back against anybody who feels like, well, don't be mean, because I agree with that in a general sense, but there is a time when you shouldn't be timid, and I don't think you should be timid in any case, but you shouldn't be overly concerned about something coming across as mean when the purpose of speaking out on issues like this is to get people's attention and to draw attention to things that are harmful and degrading in society. Lord knows there's plenty of that going on. So I don't think you have to apologize for anything, Cyrus, personally. But yeah, anyway, there's so much more to talk about. I find it interesting that we're seeing the softer side of Cyrus Simcoe. I think most people think you're like this burly lumberjack. Actually, not true. Everybody thinks you're like a 22-year-old surfer dude.
Until you post photos of me that aren't me. They're not me online.
Well, the pictures of you in the sombrero, that was a high point. We've never seen you in a sombrero before. That's on Twitter, by the way, if you want to see Cyrus in a sombrero. I'm serious. This really is him.
And you made me wear that.
You snatched it out of my hand pretty quickly.
It's not true, man.
And you put that on.
No, it is not.
Yeah. Just take a look, everybody, at Patrick Madrid. So that's a real story. Cyrus is going to get it posted. And as long as we're on the topic before we go to the phones, and by the way, the phone number, 888-914-9149. You can call that number now. We do have some lines open. It is Taco Tuesday, and I know it's like self-evident. Everybody knows that, or everybody should know that if they listen to this program. But I didn't realize that the pro sports guy, LeBron James, it's like he kind of has a claim to that name. I don't think you can claim it. So here's a story about this by Brandon Contes. We'll get it loaded up if you want to read it. LeBron James, these are his words, not mine. LeBron James, won't shut up and dribble when he sees injustice in the world, which is why he's joining Taco Bell's effort to free Taco Tuesday. Although most of us probably uttered the phrase Taco Tuesday before or even saw it advertised, before it was even advertised by a local restaurant, you may not have realized that it was a trademarked slogan. Taco John's has owned Taco Tuesday in 49 states since, get this, 1989. And Gregory's Bar has held the trademark in New Jersey since 1982. But Taco Bell and LeBron James are looking to change that. Last week, Taco Bell filed legal petitions to liberate the phrase Taco Tuesday for everyone to use. And this week, they announced LeBron James is supporting their attempt to free the trademark. I mean, he uses the phrase Taco Tuesday a lot. Taco Tuesday is a tradition that everybody should be able to celebrate. All restaurants, all families, all businesses, everybody. It's becoming a cause. LeBron James said this in a press release. Taco Tuesdays create opportunities that bring people together in so many ways, and it's a celebration that nobody should own. I think you must listen to this program, Cyrus.
We do it in Mexico all the time.
That's for sure.
I like that. Okay, LeBron James and the Lakers were just eliminated from the playoffs last night. And the story that you open with about LeBron James is about tacos.
Yeah. We don't even bother with the other one.
Yeah. Lakers? Oh, I didn't know.
I'll leave that to Cale Clark. He's the sports guy. I'm much more interested in the taco angle here. That's right. Play that again. I like that horn.
Yeah, that makes me smile.
Me too. Uh-huh. Yeah, I like it. See, this is the kind of show LeBron James could get into, even if he just listened on Tuesdays.
I just hope that Taco John's doesn't come after us.
Not with LeBron James leading the way.
That's right.
He's our heat shield. He and Taco Bell. So check it out. According to the press release, LeBron James is also starring in a new ad titled Taco Bleep as part of an attempt to liberate Taco Tuesday. They're going to run for the border. Where have I heard that before? So it's going to be out on TV soon, like in the next day or so. Maybe it's already out. Fighting for Taco Tuesday is not a new initiative for LeBron James. No way.
This is a real story.
It's a real story. He believes nobody should own the phrase. He previously attempted to trademark Taco Tuesday.
If I can't own it, nobody should be able to own it.
We should file an amicus curiae brief. You know, a friend of the court. We should join this. Maybe it'll become a class action suit, and we can join the Patrick Madrid show. Because I think we're very sympathetic to this idea.
That's what I call a taco.
That's happening. Let me hear that horn one more time, please. I want that as a ringtone on my phone. Can you imagine being in the post office or someplace quiet and your phone starts up with that? People, what? He must like Taco Tuesday. 888-914-9149. These are important stories. Please understand. Let's go to Andrew in Roseville, Minnesota. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm just calling about the First Friday devotion. If a Good Friday were to fall on the First Friday, how would that affect the First Friday devotion?
I'm not sure if I heard the question. Could you restate that, please?
Yeah. If Good Friday were to fall on a First Friday, how would that affect the First Friday devotion?
I see. Okay, Good Friday. That's the part I didn't catch. Well, it would. You wouldn't fulfill the devotion if it. In other words, you want to plan going to the First Fridays on the first Friday of each month, so that you can go consecutively the nine times. And if you were to go or try to go on Good Friday, you wouldn't fulfill the requirement. So Good Friday, there is no Mass. Therefore, if you're going to make the five First Fridays, I would start the next month. That way there's no interruption.
Okay. All right, so just was curious about that. So.
No problem. I understand. I understand. Well, thank you, Andrew. This is a good time to take a break. The number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And there's plenty to get into. I've got a few more news articles and some emails that you have sent in that I'm going to get to as well. Interesting stuff, no doubt. And I'd like to talk to you if you want to call me, 888-914-9149. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. This hour is sponsored by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Get the best premiums and discounts, all without charging fees, through Mission Insurance Solutions, part of the Notre Dame Federal Credit Union family. Go to yourmissioninsurance.com. That's yourmissioninsurance.com.
Uno, dos.
dos, tres, cuatro tacos. Don't forget the rice and beans on the plato. I like to eat, homie, yo no estoy flaco. Yeah, I'm chubby, pero I'm still guapo. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
Patrick Madrid is on
Taco Tuesday.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio.
Taco Tuesday's my favorite day. That's the reason. All right. I'm on our way. I normally wait for this song to play in its entirety, but I think we should get back to business. 888-914-9149. You can call that number now. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Kevin in Homestead, Florida. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning, Patrick.
Yes, good morning.
So I have a question. I haven't heard about it on your show much, but some of the other programs on Relevant Radio, they're talking about artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And it raised the thought, and you mentioned something last week, unrelated to that, but something that to me kind of sounds relevant. And okay. So I want to get your thoughts on this part. So you mentioned something about the Thessalonians, that we are to test all things and hold on to what is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so my question basically is, when we start to get this artificial intelligence, it seems to be we seem headed for. How do we hold on? What do we know what is good?
Well, this is a very good question. We have to evaluate. I think we have to triangulate on certain things. So, is the intention of using artificial intelligence good? So, in other words, let me give you an example. Let's say that there is an aircraft in distress because of an equipment malfunction at 35,000 feet. Now, the pilots, they have to fly the plane, they have to work the problem, they have to figure out how to get this plane safely down with everybody surviving. Now that we have artificial intelligence, we can do something that previously wasn't available to them, and that would be to say to the artificial intelligence, here's the problem, here's what the plane is doing, here's what we're experiencing. What is it and what do we do? Well, that's a really good intention to find out quickly, because artificial intelligence can produce amazing results in seconds because it has access to the entire internet. So there'd be an example of something really good to use artificial intelligence for. And within, say, 10 seconds, the artificial intelligence says, okay, here's the problem. Trim this knob, or, you know, push this button, or pull back on this, whatever, and work the problem and save the people. So there's an example. We live in a time now where artificial intelligence can dramatically speed up the process of finding out how to fix a problem. Artificial intelligence can be used for nefarious purposes. Obviously, you can mimic people, video, audio, pictures, make it appear as though people are saying and doing things that they're not saying and doing in real life. You can ruin somebody's reputation or destroy a marriage or lose a job or something if it's used in a negative way like that. So I think part of how, to answer your question, part of how you would know is you look at, okay, what is the circumstance? What is this being used for? What is the act itself? I mean, what are you asking artificial intelligence to do? Let's say you have a sick child. And the doctors are stumped. They're not sure what is causing this terrible illness. And they feed everything into the artificial intelligence, and it comes back with a solution in a matter of seconds, and you save the life of this child. I mean, there's an example of the purpose that you're using it for is to help save the life of somebody. So I think if you follow these general principles, you know, triangulating again, looking at what is it you're asking the artificial intelligence to do? Is it morally bad? Is it morally neutral? Is it morally good? What are the circumstances in which you're asking the artificial intelligence to do this? It's morally neutral to ask the artificial intelligence to describe for you the major achievements of Woodrow Wilson during his time in the presidency. That's morally neutral, but what if you're taking an exam and you use it to cheat to pass the exam? Well, the circumstances, the intention in this case, is bad. So when St. Paul says, as you mentioned a moment ago, this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, he says, test everything and hold fast to that which is good. That's how I would approach it. You look at what is the thing you're asking the AI to do, what are the circumstances, and what is your intention? And if everything is a green light, then that's good, and you can hold fast to it. But if one or more of the lights are red, then it's not good, and you would not do it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. I guess I was thinking more of how it might be used in a public forum for consumers to somehow, you know, consume.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give you an example.
Politics and news and whatever.
Yeah, I can give you some examples. Excuse me. One of the common problems right now that is present in academia is the way in which you can now use artificial intelligence to write papers. You can turn in a paper if you're a high school or college student that is not plagiarism. I mean, it is plagiarism because you're simply taking what the artificial intelligence had written, but it's not something that you'd be able to necessarily match up with something some human being had written. There's software to catch plagiarism, and professors in college, for example, routinely have access to this where you can check to make sure that somebody's not plagiarizing a term paper or a thesis, you know, that kind of thing. So if you're in a situation where you're using artificial intelligence in a way that's deceptive or it's cheating or something, then obviously that would be an example of where you don't want to use it. If you're using it to try to save somebody's life in a medical situation or in the airplane at 35,000 feet, that's a good thing. So we have to be prudent and we have to be careful. But I wouldn't say let's just turn our back on artificial intelligence. I think it can do great things to help us. But like anything else, you know, it can also be terribly damaging if it's used the wrong way. And I don't think we can even fully appreciate the possibilities, both for good and for evil, with artificial intelligence because it's so new right now. We haven't really fully mapped it out yet.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
You're going to hear a lot more about this, Kevin, as time goes by. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Oh, I am sure about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Cyrus, we're talking about artificial intelligence. I did something fun over the weekend, and that was I was working on the Bard, B-A-R-D, which is the Google artificial intelligence. And I want to find it here.
Is that different than the ChatGPT?
Yes, they're different. So ChatGPT is a different company. It's not a huge company like Google. And I'm just trying to find it. Here we go. Did I find it? Yeah. So what I did was I asked Bard to write a song. Here's the question that I asked Bard. So bard.google.com. I said, Bard, write some lyrics for a fun pop song called Taco Tuesday. And within 5 seconds, it had written a song, and here it is. Verse 1, it's Taco Tuesday, let's get down. I'm about to eat some tacos all around. I'm so excited, I can't wait. I'm going to eat until I can't eat no more. It's not written in my voice, but okay. Chorus, Taco Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, it's the best day of the week. Tacos, 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 I love to eat them all up.
What?
Verse 2. I'm going to have ground beef tacos and chicken tacos and fish tacos. I'm going to have all the tacos I can fit in my mouth. Now, I won't read the third and fourth verse and the tacos, but that was the level of quality that the Google AI gave to
That's me. Terrible.
It is terrible. You're
that was
right.
Awful.
It is terrible. It's disappointing. Come on, Google.
All right. I have... do you have another one?
Well, I have... I have what you sent me, I think, and it was the ChatGPT version. So do you have that? Because I have it in front of me. Do you have it?
No, I didn't send that to you.
Oh, I guess not. Oh, I know. I sent it to you. That's what it is. So I asked ChatGPT to do the same thing. I just told it the same thing. I said, write some lyrics for a fun pop song called Taco Tuesday. So here's what it came out with. This is ChatGPT. Verse 1, well, it's Taco Tuesday, time to celebrate. Grab your sombrero, don't be late. We're going to spice it up in a tasty way with some tortillas and salsa. It's a fiesta day. At least it rhymes.
It's
Taco
better.
Tuesday, oh, it's such a delight. Wrap it up, take a bite, it's going to be all right. From beef to chicken, veggies too. Taco Tuesday, we're all about that food. Verse 2.
At least it flows.
It does, yeah. Got the guacamole, extra cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, everything, please. Sour cream on top. Don't forget the lime. Taco Tuesday's here. It's taco time. And it goes on and on. It's actually rather catchy. And LeBron James had no part in this at all.
While you were talking, I just grabbed a Snapchat and I put in...
Did you ask it the same thing?
I asked it the exact same question. I asked, write some lyrics for a fun pop song called Taco Tuesday. And it says, verse one, it's Tuesday and I'm feeling fine. Got my friends and a bottle of wine. Thinking about the food that we're going to eat. Tacos all around can't be beat. Taco Tuesday, let's get started. Salsa, guac, and cheese, we're all hearted. Whatever that means. Taco Tuesday, come and join the fun. It's a party. Let's get it done.
You know how on The Office you've got like Prison Mike who lapses into this persona? Remember Prison Mike?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. You're doing like a Taco Cyrus right now. So, okay. So of the three, I would say at the bottom of the list would be the AI offering from Google.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yours, the one that you just did, which one was that again? That was Snapchat?
That was Snapchat. Okay. Yeah.
Well, see, there's how easy a kid can cheat in school.
Oh, my kids asked me, hey, do you have the Snapchat? It has the AI on it. I'm like, a what? And they're like, yeah, this is nice because now I don't have to open up these other apps that I use. What? this is old news to kids. This is what the adults are just finding out about this.
What I thought you were going to say, and then I caught myself because I realized, wait a minute, this is 2023. Obviously, dumb on my part to assume that what they were going to say is, now I don't have to open those books. Because chances are they don't even touch a book anyway.
Books.
Back in the day when I was in school, I mean, obviously people who are old enough remember this. You had to open a book. First of all, you had to go to the library and go to the card catalog.
Dewey Decimal System.
You flip through all these cards, find the book, go to where the book is, find the book, read the book, or at least the part that you needed to get the information. Remember what you read in the book so that when you took the test, you could put it down in writing what you had read. I don't think that happens anymore, if I had to guess, for high school and younger grades. Talk about passé.
I'm glad that this wasn't around when I was a kid.
Oh, all the things that are around now. This is why I have compassion for people who are struggling with, you know, things associated with smartphones and the internet and apps and things like that. I have no idea how I would have done. I probably would have been overrun when I was a kid. If these things had existed then, you know, I really do thank God that I didn't have to deal with this kind of technology because like everyone else, you know, we all have our weak spots and you put this technology in the hands of somebody who's immature. Why should you expect good things to happen all the time and not bad things?
That's exactly right. I just sent you a story this morning. You probably haven't had time to review it yet. So we'll probably get to it later this week, but it's the headline is Social Media is Driving Teen Mental Health Crisis.
Yeah, I have it right here.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, let me just look at the time. Yeah, we have time. I do want to take some more phone calls, but it's a little light this morning, which is unusual. So the number again, 888-914-9149. Trust me on this one. Your life maybe hasn't started to change in any visible way for you yet because of artificial intelligence, but it's going to change dramatically and probably sooner rather than later in ways that you may not even be able to fathom. Think about this. There is a steady drumbeat now about universal basic income, universal basic income, universal basic income. Everybody gets money every month to the tune of a couple thousand dollars or whatever. And like me, you might say, where did this come from? Why are they talking about this? Why all of a sudden in the last 4 or 5 years is this drumbeat gathering intensity for universal basic income? They're already pilot programming this in different cities in the country to see how it works. But I'll tell you one reason why this is happening. It's not out of the blue. It's not in a vacuum. It's because of the rise of artificial intelligence. It's going to be putting people out of work. Now, I think radio hosts will survive. But burger flippers, you know, with the robotics and things like that, or people whose livelihoods depend upon furnishing information, making calculations, making guesstimates, things like that. When it becomes clear, as I think it soon will, that artificial intelligence, which right now is just in its infancy, but when it becomes clear to people, I can save a whole ton of money for my company by just having this program that will do all the forecasting and balancing the figures and all that. I don't need to hire 10 people to do those things. And artificial intelligence doesn't need days off or sick time or maternity leave or raises. You know, it's front-end loaded. You pay your cost of that right up front, and then you have a return on your investment rather quickly. And this is just dollars and cents, but I think that this is going to be driving the need. I don't know how you feel about universal basic income. I'm ambivalent toward it myself because, I mean, I want to work for my money. If I'm going to get money, I'd like to do something that is a fair exchange of labor in order to get paid for something. I think that's part of human dignity. But if lots of people are going to be affected, as I predict that they will very soon, by artificial intelligence, well, there's going to need to be an offset. So how about this, Cyrus? It's an important article that you are referring to. This is from NBC News about the teen mental health crisis. Now, this is coming from the upper echelons of the medical profession in the United States, and it has to do with the kids and what they're going through and how social media affects that. So why don't we save that till after the break? We'll take a break now. We'll come back. We'll delve into that a little bit and your phone calls. The number to call is 888-914-9149. I am open for business and looking forward to talking to you. I'll be right back.
We have the technology.
Our sponsor, Christendom College, offers our listeners access to free online classes at getprinciples.com/truth. Acclaimed philosopher Dr. John Cutteback is teaching a class now, Understanding Human Nature, at getprinciples.com/truth.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Grande.
Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. Hey, real quick, I want to just share this with you, and we'll get it posted so you can take a look at it, especially you moms and dads, if you've got kids, teenagers especially. The Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, he is warning about a mental health crisis for teenagers and associating it with the use of social media. He says in a warning that was just issued that social media is a main contributor to things like depression, anxiety, and other problems in the nation's teenagers. A report that was released last week calls attention to growing concerns about the effects of social media use on children's and adolescents' mental health. The advisory urges policymakers and companies that make social media to share with parents the burden of managing children's and adolescents' social media use. He calls it youth mental health, the defining public health issue of our time, urging policymakers to help ensure strong safety standards. So here's some statistics from the article. Up to 95% of teens between 13 and 17 say they use a social media platform. About a third of those say they're scrolling, posting, or otherwise engaged in social media almost constantly. That's true. Go out in public, just look at how everybody is looking at their phones. Everybody, including the parents, too. Murthy says, at this point, we do not have enough evidence to say with confidence that social media is sufficiently safe for our kids. We have to now take action to make sure we're protecting our kids. The report pulls together research that links social media use and poor mental health in adolescents, such as a 2019 study that found teens who spend more than 3 hours a day on so 3 hours a day. Ha, that's nothing. Cyrus, wouldn't you like it if your kids could dial back to 3 hours a day?
I would love if they could dial back. It's kind of like gas prices, where gas prices go up to $7 a gallon, and then we're all happy when it gets back to $3.50
or $4.50
or $4.50. Right?
Yeah. In California, they suffer the most because they pay the highest gas prices of anywhere. Yeah. So I mean, I can see a lot of parents thinking, if only I could get my kids to dial back to 3 hours a day. Let's see. As of last year, students in grades 8 through 10 who were surveyed said they spend more time each day on these platforms, 3 hours, 30 minutes on average. I think it's way higher than that. I think they're just being coy. an organization that advocates for laws and policies to make media more child-friendly, says absolutely this should be a clarion call to every parent in this country that we need to put focus and resources into this effort. So they give some examples: TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram. These are the most popular social media platforms among teens, according to Pew Research. The Surgeon General's warning about social media comes as the rates of teenage depression, sadness, and hopelessness have skyrocketed in the past decade, especially among girls. And let's not forget, we're seeing a huge increase, exponential increase, in young people, girls, for example, deciding that they're bi or gay or trans. And this is not happening in a vacuum. It's not just happening all of a sudden. It's happening, I think, in large part because of what they're seeing on social media. It's changing the way they look at reality. Teen depression. I mean, it's a fairly lengthy list of problems that they're taking into account, but they believe, and I think there's reason to believe, that you can trace a great deal of this back to not only how much time the kids are spending on social media, but what they're seeing and doing on social media. So parents, please do check that out. And my advice would be get some parental controls on your kids' phones. I know it's passé, and I know that's, you know, some people think, well, that's awfully harsh. Your children, you know, they're the ones who are going to benefit. And you can set up controls so that you can say, okay, your phone is inoperable after 8 o'clock at night until whenever. I mean, you can set your own parameters. There are controls that are available out there. Even just the native controls that are there on the phone already, like an iPhone has some parental controls. You set up a separate password. Your son or daughter doesn't know what the password is. They can't change anything that you don't already have programmed in there, and you can make it pretty locked down. So that would be my advice, parents. My kids are all grown up, but believe me, if I were a younger father right now, raising teenagers right now, I would be all over this. Cyrus, I know you're all over this because you have kids that age.
It's impossible. It's almost impossible to keep up because the kids know technology way more than adults do.
That's true.
It's like born knowledge. It's like a turtle hatches and it knows instinctively to go towards water. Children instinctively know how to bypass security that parents set up on their phones.
Oh, that reminds me one other thing. And I agree with you, Cyrus. One of my daughters, I was sharing with her. I want to find it. I was sharing with her like a TV show for kids. So her son, my grandson, is 6 years old. And so I shared with her how they have changed this show. I think it was Transformers, if I'm not mistaken, so that it now promotes trans stuff. And she was like, really? It's like, oh no, he likes that. You know, he likes watching that stuff. And so that's why I sent it to her, so that she'd be on the lookout and she would know not to do that. So then a short while later, she said that she wanted to show my grandson some old kid shows that my daughter used to watch when she was a kid. And she said Animaniacs. I don't even remember that, but apparently it was a show that they watched when they were little. Animaniacs, and she said the only available one that you could get without paying was a reboot that Hulu did recently. The same characters, but they changed the theme song to say gender balanced, pronoun neutral, and ethnically diverse. So they're retooling some of the old classics, and they're changing and you know, quote unquote, updating it with the modern sensibilities about LGBTQ plus issues, and they're just putting it in there.
I took the Animaniacs one as a joke because I like that show, so maybe that's just the way I read.
Okay,
I read it, but I mean, there are a list of these children shows geared at very little kids, like Arthur,
yeah,
on PBS.
I don't know anything about that. What is that?
Oh, it's a kid show that's been on since 1996. It's it's just very soft-spoken. You learn these little life lessons every episode. Okay. And now they're all about representation. Madagascar. Chip and Potato. The new My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
What have they done to that?
with this one, let's see, in season 9, we meet Aunt Holiday and Auntie Lofty, a lesbian couple raising Scootaloo.
And this is what? This is
a sentence that I never thought I would utter on the
but
air.
I mean, what movie or what show?
Oh,
is
that's
it in?
My Little Pony.
Oh.
Rugrats, Doc McStuffins, The Owl House, that's a big one. Steven Universe, Star versus the Force. I mean, the list goes on and on. She-Ra, Legend of Korra.
They're transing all this stuff?
Yes. Yes, that's right. And a big one is Blue's Clues. This is for little kids. Okay. This is for parents that just like, I just need a break. I'm going to put my kid in front of the TV so I can have a cup of coffee shows.
It used to be Baby Mozart, where they would see shapes and hear
music.
That's
what we use. Yeah, I loved it. Had it memorized.
But now it's baby trans art or what?
Unfortunately.
Baby trans or what are they doing on that one?
I don't know. I don't.
Well, this is...
Nothing is safe. Nothing's
this
safe.
This is from Libs of TikTok, and this is what I shared with my daughter. This is Transformers. I mean, so it's the old Transformers, and I'm looking at some video of the updated Transformers, and the big robot says... There's gentle music playing. The robot says, wow, what an amazing city. I'm waiting for the dialogue. And there's a girl there, and he comes over. He says, I'm sorry for how I reacted. It's just sometimes the world can be a scary place. And it's going to get to the pronouns. It's hard to know who's dangerous or not. That's true, though, disappointing, the robot says. And then he says... She says, hey, it's okay. I know I'm safe with my friends and other non-binary people. Non-binary, the robot says. People who aren't male or female, she says. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have assumed, the robot says. I always knew my pronouns felt right, but what a wonderful word for a wonderful experience, she says. And it goes on and on from there. So the two of them are having a tender moment. The robot says, my pronouns are they, them. And she holds up a purse that says has a rainbow flag on it. She says, I'm Sam. It's a girl. I'm she, they. But you already know that. And then there's more gentle music. So this is Transformers. I suppose the pun in the title is not lost on anybody. But
so what they're doing is they're targeting children that feel... So they're going through puberty, and they don't even feel younger, like themselves in their bodies, right? They're everything... It's like, why do I feel, something's missing in my life? And this agenda, this trans agenda is like, we have the answer. We know why you feel lost and why you feel like a stranger in your own home. We know why you're having these, come with us, little children. Come with us.
I want to testify on one point here. I never felt that way when I was growing up. And I'm just being really honest here, true confessions. I never felt that way as a kid. I never felt that way as an adolescent. I went through all the typical experiences that kids and adolescents do. So I wasn't special, and I didn't have like special, you know, a special environment or anything like that. I was like everybody else, but I never ever felt the slightest bit, you know, ambiguous or doubtful about my being a boy. Never. It never even occurred to me. And I didn't know anybody who felt that way. I mean, if they did, they kept it inside. But I didn't know any girls or boys who went through any of these things. I think a big part of this is the power of suggestion. And these so-called adults who are creating this kind of content, whether it's on the smartphones, the apps and things, or they're doing this by rebooting these classic children's shows and cartoons and things like that, and they're updating it with all the new LGBTQ plus stuff, they're suggesting to these kids something that the kids wouldn't otherwise even think about. It wouldn't even occur to them. And they're putting these ideas in their mind. Now, maybe there are some who might in their own particular case, but the vast majority of kids, I don't think they would ever think about this unless these so-called adults were trying to get them to think about it.
Isn't that grooming? Is that...
Yeah, well, I mean, depending on whom you ask, because the left gets furious if you were to say that, because if you put two and two together and you connect the dots, just look at Libs of TikTok and you can see it. And that's why they hate about Libs of TikTok, is because You're not supposed to see it. You're supposed to be oblivious to it while your kids are being indoctrinated, so that by the time you do become aware of it, it's too late. Game over, man. Game over. And so that's why I believe that's why they hate Libs of TikTok so much, because Libs of TikTok just shows you what they're showing the kids. And that indoctrination is infuriating to parents. Parents, really, I urge you, look at Libs of TikTok. I mean, it'll make you angry, but it should, because you need to see what your kids are looking at. Now, your kids are not looking at Libs of TikTok. Your kids are looking at the videos and clips and things that Libs of TikTok curates for you to see. They aggregate it. So your kids probably have no clue what Libs of TikTok is. But the things that you'll see on Libs of TikTok, your kids are definitely seeing that stuff. No question about it. You homeschool your kids, your kids are seeing that if you let them use a tablet or a smartphone. And on and on. I don't want to preach, but you get the idea. Well, Cyrus, it's a valiant fight. What is this? Oh, this is the Transformer.
This is the Transformer. I am trying to find it. All right, here we go.
My shade's pronouns are they, them.
He or she just doesn't fit who I am.
Not today.
This is Transformers,
that
right?
That was Transformers. Yeah.
All right.
These
well,
are for little kids. Hey, you feel
not my little kids.
You feel alone? Are you questioning your place in the world? Come with us, little kids.
Oh, I see. You're in character now.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I guess I should be a little more clear.
Well, you know what? That's what Relevant Radio is here for. Relevant Radio is here to help to push back against that stuff, to show the truth and the beauty and the good. And that's what we do. So don't despair. Don't be discouraged. Hold your head up high and know that Relevant Radio is here for you 24/7. I like to think about that a lot. You know, we're here 24/7. Those over-the-road truckers in the middle of the night, they can listen. The busy moms in the morning getting the kids ready for school, any time of the day or night. Let's thank God for Relevant Radio. I'll be right back.